Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. I'm glad you could join us today. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to be preaching from the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And I'm going to be talking about Christ, the light of the world. Now, there's several passages in the Scripture that speak of light. And, of course, light has to do with the truth of God shining in the darkness of this sinful world. And that light has its culmination, its brightest glory, its effulgence, if you might want to say it that way, in the glorious person and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I've preached on this passage many times before, I wanted to do it again as going through John chapter 1, where it speaks of Christ being the living Word of God, the eternal Word that was in verse 1 of John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. That's Christ, who is the Word of God. He is the wisdom of God. He's the way that God communicates to His people. Through Christ, reveals Himself through the glorious person and the finished work of Christ. It says in verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything that was made. In Him was life, verse 4 tells us. And the life was the light of men. Now there's that light coming forth. The life that God has given to everyone who lives by natural creation. And I say natural, it's actually supernatural because God creates life. But we're all born with that spark of life. Physical life and the mental capacities, all the faculties of life. And all of that came forth from Christ. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, if we're talking about spiritual life, then we understand that what this is talking about is that spiritual, eternal life from God is in the person and work of Christ. Now, not everyone has spiritual, eternal life. The only ones who have that life are those whom God describes in His Word as being believers. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in the book of John chapter 3, it speaks of this. It says that verse 18 of John chapter 3, listen to this. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now that condemnation is death. And so how do I know if I have spiritual life? Well, the only way that I know that is, do I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because believing is not the cause of life. Believing is the evidence of life. And so this is how we know. And that life comes through the revelation of truth, the revelation of the light. So back here in John chapter 1, our text, he says, in Him was life. Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So there's a distinction that we have to make if we're going to understand the Scriptures, even this passage. There is the physical life that all people who live on this earth have, born with. But there's spiritual life that comes forth from Christ, from God in Christ, and it's applied by the Holy Spirit in the new birth. And we'll be talking about the new birth later on. But you remember what Christ said in John chapter 3 when He was talking to Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again or you cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again or you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You see, spiritual life, spiritual eternal life, is the result of the new birth by the Holy Spirit, which comes forth from Christ, the resurrected Christ. The Bible says in Romans 8 and verse 10 that this body is dead, talking about our physical bodies that are in a perpetual state of dying as we get older. But he says the Spirit is life. The Holy Spirit is life, spiritual life, because of righteousness. And that righteousness is the Lord Jesus Christ, the merit of his whole work of redemption. And so what we learn from this is that those who are born again are those who have already been justified by the Father through the Son. They've been forgiven of all their sins on the ground of the blood of Christ. And they've been declared righteous before God, legally righteous, based upon Christ's righteousness imputed to them, charged or legally accounted to them. So that's the difference we have to see here. But it says in verse 5 of John 1, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now this is the light of the gospel, wherein Christ, Jesus Christ, is identified and distinguished in the glory of his person and in the power of his finished work. Who Christ is and what he accomplished to redeem his people from their sins. And that light shines in the darkness of this world, the darkness of our own natural eyes and our hearts. You see, man has been created by God, created in the image of God. Man fell when Adam fell. And we fell into a state of spiritual death and darkness, unbelief, a state of sin. So that when we're born into this world naturally, we're born spiritually dead. Now we have physical life, our mental faculties and all of that, but that physical life and those mental faculties are under the darkness and the condemnation of sin. So we're born spiritually dead and depraved, totally depraved. Now, total depravity, when we talk about people being totally depraved, we're not talking about the fact that people cannot have a conscience and cannot do things that are right in the sight of men or even be religious. But it's summed up in a verse that I quote all the time on this program. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, which says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned, spiritually understood, spiritually judged. And man has no capacity or desire to receive and believe and rejoice in the things that glorify God as he reveals himself in the salvation of sinners by his grace through Jesus Christ. And one of the evidences of that is man by nature believes, insists on believing, that his salvation is in some way, at some stage, to some degree, conditioned on what he does or what he decides. That's spiritual depravity, spiritual death. Now, we do make decisions all the time. I'll be talking about that later on in a message. But the decisions that we make are not that which glorifies and honors God in the way of salvation. A person can try to be the best person they can be. They can be religious. They can be sincere, dedicated, moral in the eyes of men. They can be generous, very charitable. But if they don't know Christ, if they don't believe in him, they're still spiritually dead. And if you think, or anyone thinks, that salvation is conditioned on anything you do or decide, my friend, that right there shows spiritual death and depravity. And there's a light, though. And that light is the light of Christ in the gospel that shines in the darkness. But it says the darkness comprehended it not. the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So what's got to happen? Well, you must be born again, or you cannot see, you cannot comprehend and understand the kingdom of God. You cannot enter it. Well, verse 6 of John 1 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, here he's talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who was the last of the Old Testament prophets and who was the forerunner of Christ. And it says in verse 7, now listen to this. The same man, John, came for a witness. In other words, he was bearing a testimony of somebody else. He wasn't trying to draw followers to himself. He wasn't trying to gain a group for himself, not promoting himself. But he came for a witness to bear witness of the light. John the Baptist came to bear witness of Christ, the light of the world, the light of men. And he did that. He said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And then he said to the crowd, he said, this person, Christ, must increase, and I must decrease. And that's a good motto for every true preacher of the gospel. An old preacher once told me, he said, it's like this, preach Christ, point sinners to Christ, and get out of the way. Don't bring men to yourself or women to yourself. Point them to Christ. That's what John the Baptist did. And so he says, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Now that's all who are going to believe. That's not all without exception, because all without exception are not going to believe. But whoever believes, whoever they are, he says, they believe on Christ. They have the light. Now this light is a revelation. John said that in verse 8, or it said here of John, he was not that light. John was not the Messiah. John was not the Savior of sinners. John was not God manifest in the flesh. That's Jesus Christ. So he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And look at verse 9 now. That was the true light. See, John bore witness of the light that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every man that cometh into the world? Is that talking about every individual without exception? You know, people always, when they look at passages like that, and John 3:16 is one of the major ones, you know, God so loved the world. And they automatically assume that the word world there means every person who ever came into the world. Well, my friend, that's not true. Look at what it says. Read it in the context now. That's important. Remember what he says in verse 5? The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And then let's look on. It says, look at it again, verse 9. Christ was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now, if you don't know Christ, you're not enlightened. If you don't believe in Christ, you're not enlightened. Christ as the light is a revelation from God. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, which I quote a lot on this program, Paul wrote, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. In other words, if I preach the gospel to you and you believe it by the power of God, not by your own power, not by your own goodness, not by your own so-called free will, that's not how it comes. But if I preach the gospel, or anybody preaches the gospel, and you believe it, then that gospel has been made the power of God unto your salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first, the Greek also. Paul makes it clear this is not a Jew-Gentile thing. This is for any sinner who believes it. And then in verse 17 he says, For therein, in that gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. And the righteousness of God is the entire merit of Christ's work of redemption as the surety and the substitute of his people on that cross to bring about a righteousness by which God is just to justify. So, for therein is the righteousness of God. Now listen to this. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now from faith to faith. From faith, that's the light revealed. That's knowledge revealed. God has shined the light in his people. He's given them spiritual life, given them a heart, a mind of affections. Well, they've been born again. And it's revealed from faith to faith. That's knowledge, faith, light, believed. You understand? So this is a revelation. So Christ here in John 1, when it says, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He's not talking about every person without exception. He's talking about everyone who believes the gospel in this world. Now, how do you know that? Look again, verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now, is that everybody without exception? Well, by nature, none of us know him. But look on in verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, some people say that's talking about the Jewish nation that in general did not believe, so that he came into his own nation. But I believe it's talking about his sheep, God's elect, who he came to redeem. By nature, none of us know him, believe him. But what happens? In the power of God, look at verse 12, but as many as received him. Now, there are some who receive him. There are some who comprehend the light. Now, how does that come about? Well, look at it. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become or to be called the sons of God. Now, that word power there does not mean ability. It means the right, the privilege. And what he's saying here is those who have received Christ, who believe in him, who rest in him, who plead his blood and his righteousness as their only way of salvation, those are the ones who have the right, the privilege to be and claim to be the sons, the children of God. If you don't believe in Christ, you don't, listen, the Bible says, those who don't believe are children of the devil. It's what Christ called the Pharisees in John 8:44. He says, you are your father, the devil. You're blinded. But those who are born again and who receive Christ, they have the awesome privilege by the grace of God, not by anything they've done or decided to do, but by the grace of God, they have the awesome privilege to call themselves children of God. I'm a son of God. You ladies who believe, you're daughters of God in that way. And so, look on verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, the right, the privilege to become or be called to claim to be the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, his name is that which identifies him and distinguishes him from all counterfeits. He alone is the Savior. There's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There's no other Savior. There's none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Again, Christ said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So there are no other Saviors. There's no other ways to God. He is the one and only true Savior. And so those who believe on his name, who he is, God manifest in the flesh. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. the power and the success of His finished work. Christ did not come to this world to make salvation possible for sinners who would cooperate in whatever way religion says. If that were the case, we'd all be doomed. Christ came into the world to save His people from their sins. And all for whom He lived and died and was buried and rose again the third day shall be saved. That's the case. Now, how does all that come about? Those who receive Him. We talked about how the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. But there are those who receive Him. Verse 12, but as many as received Him, that believe on His name. Where did that come from? It didn't come from man. Doesn't come from us. Believing in Him, receiving Him, faith in Christ is not natural to us. It's not the result of some spark of goodness that we fan into a flame of fire. Saving faith is a gift from God through Christ. And I quote this verse quite a bit. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, even that faith. Somebody said, well, that means salvation. Well, that's right. It includes faith. Salvation or no part of is of yourselves. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now think about it. How does that come about in the process that God uses? Well, it comes about by the new birth. Look at verse 13. Now, those who received Him, those who believe on Him, verse 13, which were born, not of blood. Now, the blood birth there is natural birth. In other words, it didn't come through your pedigree. You weren't born into this world physically with this gift of faith. You had to be born again. You had to be born from above, born of God, begotten again by the word of truth, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So they were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Now, I believe that's talking about the works of the flesh. In other words, this new birth by which we see the light, have the revelation of Christ in who he, in the glory of His person and the power of His finished work, whereby we receive Him, submit to His righteousness imputed as our only ground of salvation before God. This receiving Him does not come about by the works of the flesh. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. And then He says in verse 13, nor of the will of man. It didn't come about because you made a decision for Christ. It's not your will that wills you into the kingdom. By nature, you have no will, no desire, and will not choose the true way of Christ. But in the new birth, God gives you a new heart, a new mind, you might say, a new spirit, new life. And He changes your mind. He changes your will. And you become willing in the day of His power. Because by the power of the Spirit through the preaching of the Word, wherein Christ is identified and distinguished, He convicts you, He convinces you. The Bible says in John chapter 16, verses, I think it's 8 through 11, He convinces us of sin because we believe not on Christ. In other words, without Christ, nothing but sin. He convicts us of righteousness because Christ has gone unto the Father. That's the work of Christ in establishing a perfect righteousness whereby God is just to justify the ungodly. And He convicts us of judgment because the prince of this world is cast out. Satan's accusations will no longer stick because we've already been judged. We who believe have already been judged for all our sins when Christ died on that cross. Our sins were imputed to Him, charged to Him. And He was judged under the wrath of God, and He paid our debt in full. He satisfied God's justice. He put those sins away. He purged them away. And He brought forth an everlasting righteousness of infinite value whereby God is just to save sinners like us. And that's what this is about. It's not by blood. It's not by the works of the flesh. It's not by the will of man, but which were born, verse 13, of God. Of God. Over in the book of Romans, chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is referring back to a time when Moses asked the Lord to show me your glory. Lord, show me your glory. And he says in Romans 9 and verse 15, he says, For God said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, verse 16, it is not of him that willeth. It's not man's decision that saves him. It's not man's willingness that saves him. By nature, none of us are willing. But God gives us a new will in the new birth by the preaching of the gospel and the power of the Spirit. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, that's works, but of God that showeth mercy. Salvation is by grace, not by works, not by man's so-called free will. It is totally by grace. Over in John chapter 3 and verse 19, listen to this. It says, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Now that's Christ, the gospel. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Christ is the light of the world, and he enlightens all of his people to believe in him and receive him. And that's who have the revelation, the light in their hearts, in their minds, in their affections, and in their wills. And they're born of God. Come to the light, not to the darkness. We're in the darkness by nature. Man by nature is dark. Come to the light, which is Christ. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries, or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969, or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.